With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
Update comes from One Bills Drive. The Bills are just now wrapping up day two on the practice field as they get set for the Los Angeles Chargers coming to town on Sunday, the home opener for Buffalo. Josh Allen gets through another day on the field as Buffalo's starting quarterback. The Bills yesterday practiced without cornerback Teron Johnson with a shoulder and defensive end Shaq Lawson with a hamstring. No official update on today's injury report yet. Overnight last night, the Bills claimed off waivers offensive lineman Ike Butker, a rookie free agent from Iowa who spent offseason and training camp with the Bills, released by the Bills on the final cutdown. Butker went to the Chiefs and was released just a week ago, re-signed to the Bills roster yesterday. Ike Butker added to the roster. The Bills released cornerback Ryan Lewis, who they just claimed off New England's cuts a week or so ago. Bills and Chargers Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff at New Era Field. We've got the radio broadcast on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Myself, Mark Kelso, Sal Capaccio on the sidelines. Joey Bosa will not play for the San Diego Chargers. He'll miss his second game of the season with a foot injury. Anthony Lynn confirmed that earlier today. He says he's week to week, but he'll probably be out for the next couple of weeks. Pro Football Hall of Fame is out with a list of 102 modern-era nominees for the Hall of Fame's class of 2019. On that list of nominees, my partner here in the broadcast, Steve Tasker, is a special teamer wide receiver. He and Brian Mitchell, two special teamers, nominated. The Hall of Fame will narrow it down to 18 finalists, and the voters vote next February on the Pro Football Hall of Fame for 2019. The NFL weekend starts tonight. The Baltimore Ravens, fresh off their victory over the Bills, go to Cincinnati to play the Bengals tonight. Ravens had six different players score offensive touchdowns in week one against Buffalo. Joe Mixon with a big game for the Bengals in their opener last week. 149 scrimmage yards in Cincinnati's win. 1-0 Cincinnati, 1-0 Baltimore, 8:20 tonight in Cincinnati. And the Sabres start training camp tomorrow. Practices tomorrow are open. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio. Again, congratulations, Steve, on the Hall of Fame. I think that's pretty cool. We don't have to dwell on that. Here's what we want to talk about. Tonight's game. Two teams that Bills fans got. Yeah, one more vote. Every time you say that, Steve, you think he'll be in the Hall of Fame? Ding. Yeah. Steve, tonight's game, Baltimore-Cincinnati. Bills fans got to feel fairly familiar with these two. Baltimore from last week, the Bengals from a couple of weeks ago. What was it, August 26th in the third preseason game?
Yep.
The Bills obviously don't play the Bengals this year. They just lost to Baltimore. You wonder how much attention Bills fans will pay to this game tonight. I would think a little bit, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think they want to, because they just saw Cincinnati and they want to get another look at Baltimore and say, you know, to me, because I want to double check as to how good the Baltimore Ravens looked against the Buffalo Bills. Because if they come out and what happens, what do you think if the Baltimore Ravens come out and get smoked 47-3?
First of all, I'd be stunned.
Right?
That they gave up 14 points, let alone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on.
I mean, I don't want to pile on anybody, but I hope the Cincinnati Bengals look horrible against that team.
Why?
Make me feel better
about
ours.
Feel better?
Yeah.
I think these
would. It would. Don't give me that.
I don't know if it would.
Oh, come on. If the Baltimore Ravens go out, yeah, it would. If the Baltimore Ravens go out and crush the Bengals, then Bills fans are going to go, oh, it's not just us, right?
You're right. You're right. And this goes kind of to our theme of the day, like what did that lost Sunday do to your expectations for the season? That lost Sunday, maybe, you know, if the Baltimore Ravens win at Cincinnati tonight 47-3, we'll ask the question again tomorrow. Well, now what do you think of that Bills loss?
What about if it could be 24-10, something like, you know,
right.
If they win a double-digit win in Cincinnati, you got to think, okay, yeah. Because believe me, I'm sitting here thinking Baltimore is a pretty good football team.
I think Cincinnati's pretty good too.
By NFL standards, I think Cincinnati is too. So if Baltimore does go in there and kind of rolls over them with a 7-10 point lead, even I'm thinking, yeah, okay, Baltimore is pretty legit.
Okay,
you know, and then it's like, okay, all right, I can maybe just hang on to the bandwagon with one hand now at least. You
I think this has the makings of a good game. I know how we, you know, many of us feel about Thursday night football, but this one could be pretty good. The Ravens looked outstanding, obviously, against Buffalo. The Bengals looked pretty good. You know, I thought they looked pretty good last week, and I think they look really good against the Bills back in late August. So we'll see. It's an 8:20 kickoff, Paul Brown Stadium, Ravens and Bengals. Hey, I was looking up more information on the Bills game. The referee for Sunday, first of all, the weather's going to be great, sunny and 82. Referee is Clay Martin. Is that name familiar?
No.
No? It's his first year as an NFL referee. The Bills had Sean Bills had Sean Hockley last week. His first game as an NFL referee. Now they get another guy, Clay Martin, who's been an umpire in the league for, I think, 3 or 4 or 6 years or something.
So I was on the sidelines as the reporter for, you know, Kevin Harlan, Rich Gannon. I was in the truck, the broadcast trucks before the game, and Sean Hockley came into the trucks. You know, because the officials always go into the trucks and they talk about the time period, the time sheet, and how they're going to do some things. Each official has a crew. The whole crew has a meeting with the production crew, meaning our producer and our director, about how they're going to handle timeouts and stuff like that. And sure enough, Ed Hockley was at the game.
Yeah,
Ed came in. Yeah. Ed came into there and said, "Hey," and so was Mike Carey.
Yeah.
So we were sitting there talking to the both of them. Ed Hockley, I mean, you talk about a guy. He's retired. He's growing a beard.
Yeah.
Sold the house, sold the car, bought an RV. They're headed around the country, him and his wife.
Midlife crisis?
No, he says, "I'm loving it. We're just doing cut loose." And so he did. He flew in. They parked the RV, I guess, in Idaho. His wife's there. He flew in for this game. Mike Carey and he have been close friends. Mike Carey's the guy that was a CBS rules analyst for a year, 2 years ago. And they flew in and watched Sean Hockley do the Bills-Baltimore game last week. I was teasing, too, because I thought, okay, I didn't get a chance to say it on the air, but I wonder if Sean Hockley is really going to give a dissertation on his first, you know, call like his dad Ed did. Yeah. And sure enough, it was a triple penalty, and he came in and had to talk for like 5 minutes.
Hey, I think I thought Sean Hockley did a bad job Sunday.
Did you?
I said it. Yeah, right. I did. I think there were a number of calls. And look, it had nothing to do with the magnitude of Buffalo's defeat, but he just had some bad calls, Steve.
See, you got really me because I didn't notice
I can't think
that.
Of them now. I don't have my fingertips. But I watched the game over thinking, that's not right. There was a hold that I thought was suspect. There was the pass interference on Teron Johnson, uncatchable ball, clearly, and he called it and enforced it. Mm-hmm. I thought he over-officiated, I thought, Sunday's game. Now, that's not why the Bills lost. The Bills were outplayed dramatically.
Well, as everybody's getting critiqued, Sean Hockley's on the list.
That's right. Hey, let's talk a little bit about that game and what it did to your expectations for the season, if anything. Maybe it didn't. We'll take your calls, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Jerry Hughes, we think, is going to join us a little bit later in the hour. They've just come off the practice field. He's getting in his Thursday lift right now. A call from Mark in Buffalo. Mark, go ahead. You're on the air.
Gentlemen, hey, you know, I don't know what it's done to my expectations. I guess it lowered them, but I'm not going to ready them to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge just after one game. I'm still behind them. Anyways, you know what, Mr. Tasker, don't cut yourself short. You are a Hall of Famer. You're one of the best special teams players I've ever seen. I'm 55 years old. You belong in there. People forget one other thing. They used you as a wide receiver for a while, and you were great. You got beat up. You were smaller than they were, but you were great at that also. And Mr. Murphy, you're both Hall of Famers. You replaced a great Van Miller. You've got your own style. You're great also. Gentlemen, have a great day.
Great call, Mark. Thanks, Mark. No, seriously, that's nice. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to get my own Hall of Fame counter.
That is great.
I'm giving Steve a 55-vote edge in the Hall of Fame vote.
All I need is 42 votes.
A call here from Jim in Jamestown. Hi, Jim. Go ahead. You're on the air with us. Oh, hang on. There you are. Hi, Jim. Are you there? Yeah.
I'm here. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'd just like to first say congratulations to Steve. Steve, I met you in 2014 at the induction of Andre Reed. You took the time with my daughter and me, and you're a class act. And I wish you the best. And if you make the Hall of Fame, I'll be there.
Wow. So will I if I do.
Tell the folks in Canton.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks.
Yeah, it was just an honor to meet you, and you took the time, and just very respectful and to my daughter and me, and I'll never forget that. One of the things I want to comment as a team, since I've been a season ticket holder since 1983, if you as a fan can't ride this out, give up your season ticket. It's been through good times, bad times, whatever you want to do. But this is my team. I came out of the West. In 1983, I bought season tickets, and I've had them every year. I don't miss the games. You know, I'm a supporter of the team. I'm a, you know, financially, if you look at it as a season ticket holder, I support the team, and it's a great team. You know, these are, you know, if you're gonna hang in with this team and you're gonna be a part of this team, you're gonna have to ride it as a fan and hope for the best. We've had good years, and I'll be honest with you, one game is not making our season, and we've had these before, and you can get all in it. But I'll tell you, the minute we start doing well, the media is gonna jump on. What a great deal! What a great decision they made! This and that. So, to me, let it play out. Let it be what it is. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Jim. Good perspective,
thanks,
Jim. I think.
Yeah, it's getting a little nostalgic there since 1983. And listen, a lot of people will tell you they thought the bad times lasted too long between 1999 and 2017.
They did.
They did. Yeah. It was a long time. It was a difficult road, and they got tired of waiting. And a lot of people did give up their tickets. But this last year, they maxed out. So people are back on board, no question about it. And for people who – and I think there is a little bit of a badge of honor. I don't know for sure. I mean, I've had tickets since 1986. And some people do hold it as a badge of honor. Don't you think, Murph, that they kind of hang in there no matter what?
Yeah,
no matter how bad that team gets, they're going to hang in there.
I think most people like it, like the games, like the game day experience, like the NFL.
In this town, NFL, it's unique. It's special. Now, every football stadium, you know, they're all kind of the same, but they're all unique, too, in the NFL. Kansas City's unique, Green Bay's unique, and certainly, you know, Buffalo is one-of-a-kind city. So, yeah, if you have tickets, it's more – some for a lot of people, it's more than just about the game. It's about the entire day with the family, with your friends, being out there at the stadium and doing the pregame thing and the postgame thing and hanging in there through the week with guys like us talking about it with everybody, because everybody in town has got an opinion.
Yeah, they do.
As I've found doing this job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they do.
It's great.
We're asking for your opinion. Has that loss in week one changed your season-long expectations for the Bills? Steve came in here Monday and said, hey, in the locker room, they're talking about next game, next week. Jordan Poyer kind of made that plain yesterday. The Bills safety in the locker room talked about looking ahead, not looking behind, but looking ahead to the game against the Chargers.
Anybody competitor would say it's frustrating, you know, to come out there and perform, you know, the way we did. I think anybody would say it's frustrating. But at the same time, I was telling him it's something that, you know, we have to learn from. And it's something that we have to take into this week preparing for the Chargers, because, you know, I was telling him it's not that we lost three games in a row, two games in a row. It's one game. We're 0-1, you know, and we got an opportunity at home in front of our home fans this weekend. And so we're preparing to play that game.
That's what you'd expect to hear, I guess. They are 0-1. And, Steve, this just in, they might go 0-2. Chargers are pretty good. They might go 0-2. We could have the same kind of discussion next
week. Chargers are very good.
Yeah. Maybe people, you know, maybe your expectations change then. But it's a season. It's not a one-game season. It's a season. There's 16 of them. Before you start writing the obituary for the 2018 Buffalo Bills, you know, there's still a pulse here, a strong pulse, I think. You know, there's still, and nobody, you know, I think people kind of get carried away with the ups and downs a little bit.
I think one of the things, too, I mean, this is when, you know, this culture that we heard so much about a year ago, when it kind of carried this team through to the playoffs, the turnover-driven defense and the engine that ran the team by the defense getting turnovers and the secondary that was all new and yet came through in a big way. When they kind of banded together and got themselves through a tough three-game winning streak or losing streak in the middle of the season, where they bounced back and went to Kansas City and beat that team, went to Atlanta and beat them, beat the Raiders at home, all these teams with high expectations. You know, it's that culture that was credited in large part as to being the reason why they were able to do that. This, I think, is a point where that culture really needs to come through in a big way. I think this is where guys like Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde and Kyle Williams and Lorenzo Alexander and Jerry Hughes, all these guys need to be the ones to stand up and say, listen, guys, this is not what we're about, and this is how we're going to get better. This is how we're going to improve. This is what we have to do to pull ourselves out of it. It'll be interesting to see them rebound from this inside their locker room if we ever got a look at it, but I think the evidence of it will be on the field. But I think it's a big test for him, no question.
Got a call on the line from Tony on this topic. Tony, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that when I have a Drullums like the game that we watched where the Bills got trumped, I try to offset that with a counterbalance. So I went back and watched the Raiders game from the playoff game. And let me tell you, Steve, you had one whale of a game. There were just two receivers in front of you that were hurt, and you had one whale of a game. You certainly deserve your nomination.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Second of all, I think that someone said this earlier in the show. I don't feel that the problem necessarily was with the offense, which everybody's trying to pin it on. I think the defense gave up much too much early. There was one play, I think, in the second drive, which was second and 27 or 28.
Second and 26, they got 29 yards.
It was third and 26.
No, second and 26, they got 29 yards.
Oh, I thought it was third.
The thing that encourages me is the defense is fixable. And I think that they will be the key to keep this team in their games and the season. So if the defense gets fixed, I think the offense will be all right. They're not a come-from-behind offense, I don't believe.
Yeah. No kidding.
Oh, not with a rookie quarterback. Not with a rookie quarterback. No, they're not a come-from-behind offense. Nobody ever is going to be. But that's a good point, Tony. You're right. I mean, it was a team loss. Yeah, you can say it was both. The offense didn't play well enough. The defense got gashed. Joe Flacco was really good. Their receivers were really good. The only thing the Bills really did was, you know, they held them to 75 yards rushing. Which, if you're looking for a silver lining, okay, well, they wanted to fix their run defense. It's better than it was, but man, oh man, you can't give up, you know, all those yards passing and all those points. I mean, it was a rough day, and the defense was just as culpable as the offense in this one, and you don't lose by that amount. And the special teams were too, even though, you know, Bjorquez punted pretty well for his first time in uniform, and he also dropped a kick. You know, Marcus Murphy played some pretty good football in the return game and as a running back. I think he showed up in a big way. But it wasn't enough. You know, you're not going to overcome the deficiencies around the rest of the team.
Thanks very much for your call, Tony. Let's take a call from John in Rochester. Hello, John. Welcome. Go ahead.
Hey, John and Steve. Steve, you're getting all these compliments. What did you do?
Nothing.
Steve is one of the finalists. They're not a finalist. I keep saying that. He's a nominee for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, one of 102 nominees.
Okay, I didn't hear that. So congratulations, you deserve it. I'm one of your biggest fans. Listen, I got to tell you, I'm still pumped up about this team. And one of the reasons is, Steve, you remember those games when we were at our peak in the Kelly years, Super Bowl years? We got clobbered by Kansas City twice, Pittsburgh once, and the Jets once on Monday Night Football. And I think on the average, we lost by 30 points in each of those games. And we had a phenomenal team back then. So this game past Sunday, I was bothered by it, but I just think we can come back strong. What are your thoughts? I think you're saying the same thing.
Yeah, we had Thurman Thomas on earlier in the show, and he and I related a story about what happened to us in one of those games you just mentioned. We got thumped by Kansas City on a Monday night and came back and met that same team in the AFC Championship. And it's happened. It happened throughout. It happens to good teams. No matter the problem is after a we're sitting in that spot after a tough loss like that, and trying to find the faith in a team, particularly in the Buffalo Bills now. This is a team that really hasn't earned that spot where you think, that's all right, they're going to be coming back. We have to see that from them. Now, they did some wonderful things last year, but this is a different team, and it's not like they have a Super Bowl appearance or two Super Bowl appearances under their belt to come back and say, hey, this is a team that they've been here before, they can do it. This is a team that's relatively new to their success with this coaching staff. They're only in their second year. So, and this is a team that we don't know about too much. So
right.
It's hard to dredge up that same hope or same expectation after a loss like they saw last Sunday. But I do appreciate it, John. I appreciate your words, and you're right. There's no reason to think it could not happen. But how much do you anticipate and expect it to happen is another story.
From the tweet sheet, as we ask the question, how much did the week one loss in Baltimore change your expectations? Spencer McIntyre tweets in, apparently making the playoffs and breaking the streak turns fans into, we need success today or else. So many irrational thoughts. The team lost three linemen, two surprisingly. Our number two cornerback is up in the air. We have numerous injuries and are installing a new offense. Relax. That's what Spencer McIntyre says. Isn't that what Aaron Rodgers said famously a couple of years ago?
He spelled it.
Yeah, he spelled it. Yeah, relax. From Thomas Durlach, it's a long season. It's only one game. It becomes concerning if play does not improve over the next few games. Always thought this would be a 6 or 7 win team, and that has not changed. That's my position. I think I said that. I know I said that before the season. 6, 7, 8 wins, somewhere in that range. Thomas says if it doesn't improve over the next few weeks, they're up against it the next few weeks. This is the toughest part of the schedule. They got two road games coming up after this Sunday. They got an extremely high-powered offense coming in here Sunday, the Chargers, and against the Buffalo defense that did not play well in Baltimore. Then they hit the road for two good offenses, two good teams, Minnesota and Green Bay. It's it's going to get tougher, I think, before it gets better
here. It's going to be really tough, yeah. And we saw it coming. We've been talking about it the entire offseason ever since the schedule was announced. You go to Baltimore, you have the Chargers here, then you go to Minnesota and to Green Bay. Those four really difficult games. And, you know, in fact, a lot of people had predicted at the end of those four games is exactly when Josh Allen would probably be inserted as the starter. They give him a chance to get past those really rough defenses, those great pass defenses from a year ago, and then ease him into an easier stretch of the schedule. They also, along with that, they said, yeah, the Bills will be 0-4, 1-3 after that stretch. It'll be time to insert in, the season will be over, and they'll chalk it up. Well, I mean, we saw this stretch coming. It was going to be a difficult stretch of the season. We didn't think it was going to be a 47-3 stretch. I mean, that's right.
Right. Yeah.
You knew it'd be tough, but you know, that's where you sit. I mean, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy. But I think, like I said, this is the dark time of this season when you got to kind of buckle down. If you're the players and coach, you got to buckle down and get through this and give yourself a chance to come back later in the season. You can't do it coming from 0-4, 0-5, 0-6. It just doesn't happen.
Call here from Bob in Lockport. Hi, Bob. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. Steve Tasker, you are an inspiration to any young football player coming up. Just a wonderful your reels that you see on TV. Any young football person would see that as an inspiration. But one of the things I have to say, I'm a Buffalo Bills football fan, but I saw a lack of effort. The 50-50 balls, I didn't see that. I didn't, even in the whole team concept, they didn't seem a total team effort. I saw a lack of effort.
I didn't see that. Did you, Steve?
No. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin's been mentioned as a guy that people thought maybe gave up late in that game or didn't make the effort to do that. I know I saw him bat one ball away that Peterman threw up for him instead of he wasn't going to get it, and the DB was. He knocked it away down the sideline. He got one picked off where the DB broke on the ball because it was at that point of the game where they knew Peterman had to get the ball out, and they started sitting on routes. But, no, I didn't see a spot where I thought you'd say the whole team, you know, threw in the towel at any point. I think the guys were playing hard. I don't think there was anything worth mentioning about their effort. I thought they were playing hard. They were putting forth the effort, but they just weren't getting anywhere. And I think that, I don't know whether that's more disturbing or less disturbing. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Dave on the line from Florida. Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
Good. How you doing, Murph?
Good. Real good.
All right. Listen, I just want to tell you, people that give up on Buffalo, I don't want to hear about it, okay? This team is, I've been a fan since the 60s at the old Great Monster, and I moved into Ralph Wilson Stadium with season tickets. My grandson has them now. My grandson takes his son.
That's great.
Square Field. And this team here is going to make it, and it's not this year, next year. There is no rush. There's no reason for panic. And LeSean McCoy put it right. He handled the ball 7 times, you say? Well, I think that's going to change. That's what I got to say. Congratulations, Steve Tasker. I still got your picture of you not standing on a milk carton. Pete Metzelaars.
I appreciate it. Dave, let me ask you this, Dave.
Oh, shoot. I just cut him off.
Oh, you cut him off? I was going to ask him. Sorry. Well, I was going to ask him. He says there's no patience, no rush. I was going to ask him what he thought about where they're at and how they got here and are they in the right track? Are they doing the right thing? I wish he would have.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
I'm in a rush.
His great-grandkids are going to the games on his old tickets.
No, his grandkids. No? His no, you're right. His great-grandkids. Yeah, that's right. That's cool.
Yeah, it's his great-grandkids. Yeah.
Here's Cal from Grand Island. Go ahead, Cal. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Murph. I wanted to say great job for both of you guys.
Thank you.
Great show daily. I listen, and I've been a Bills fan my whole life as well. But I just wanted to start off in saying I was at a game one time back in the day, and it was against Atlanta Falcons at home. And Deion Sanders tried to hurdle Steve. And, Steve, he almost got over you, and you made, like, one of the most athletic great plays that I've ever seen in my life. You grabbed him by the toe, and you flipped him over, and the place went absolutely insane.
Do you remember this?
And I just wanted to wish you congratulations on a well-deserved nomination, and I know all of Buffalo's rooting for you to get in the Hall of Fame.
I appreciate it. I do remember that game, and, it was Deion Sanders, and I did tackle him by the foot. And it was interesting because I think the head coach of that team, I'm positive, was Jerry Glanville.
Your buddy.
Yeah, it's my boy, who's now the defensive coordinator of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I see him all the time. So he's And I'll tell you the truth, too. Deion was one of the all-time great players, too. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, which he is. He was a really great player. So it was, like I said earlier, it was fun, and I wouldn't change much about my career, believe me. I don't think I'd change much of anything if I can't think of anything. So I appreciate it. Thanks. I appreciate that, Cal, and I remember that tackle too. So
thanks, Cal. We're going to take a break. We're back with more. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Back at One Bills Live, John Murphy, Steve Tasker from One Bills Drive. The Bills practice is over. We had hoped to get Jerry Hughes in here, but he's lifting. Got to do it, right, Steve?
Well, they got a routine, man. That's what they do.
We're going to see if we can get him in here. We don't know.
Let's reset the Twitter question and then get some tweet sheet things in here, and then let's do NFL true false.
Okay.
That's what I want to do.
Okay.
You
have a voice here. You're a Hall of Fame nominee.
Flexing my muscles as a nominee.
You have a voice. We put this up on Twitter. We've talked about it all day. Horrible loss in Baltimore last Sunday. So did that change your expectations for the Bills this season? If so, if not, give us a call. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Or tweet it in. We got some more from the tweet sheet. What do you have, Steve?
Yeah, I think from Thomas – I don't think you've read this one. From Thomas Durlach, it's a long season. It's only one game. It becomes concerning if play doesn't improve over the next few games. Always thought this would be a 6 or 7 win team, and that has not changed. That from Thomas Durlach, and then Postman Pilot. In 2003.
Your guy. This is your guy.
This is our guy.
He's
usually well thought out and logical. We'll see if he comes through. In 2003, we beat New England 31-0 in the opener, only for them to do the same to us in the finale. That alone shows the unpredictability of the NFL. Any given Sunday, right?
Things right, can right? Am I right?
You're right. Things can absolutely change. How about that, Sam Adams TD? What a memorable moment. He's right. Remember when Sam Adams picked that ball off and waltzed into the end zone?
Yes, I do.
At the beginning of that game. And that was the what was the safety's name?
Lawyer Malloy.
Lawyer Malloy game. That was the Lawyer Malloy game.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was fun. Got a call on the line. Dave in Florida.
They're
Hi, Dave.
Few and far between those moments.
Dave, go ahead. You're on the air.
Dave, you wanted to ask me a question before we got cut off.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
Oh, Dave yeah, I was going to ask you. You said that there's no time, there's no no hurry about this season. There's no, there's no reason to get your into a panic about how this season went because there's no change. Are you happy with where the Bills are in their process of getting better, of how they're putting this new regime together, and the course that's laid ahead for them? Are you happy with where they're at now, aside from the bad loss they took on Sunday?
Yes, I am.
You think you can see the logic to all these moves they made? Because every time you have a loss like the one on Sunday, the people around the country are all saying, hey, it's a dumpster fire in Buffalo. They got no plan. They don't know what they're doing. They made some bad decisions. What do you think?
I think they're all wrong, is what I think. Being a Bills fan as long as I have been and watching them through the processes and the coaches they've been through and players they've been through, this team is young, good, and they're going to be tough and they're going to get tougher. I expect them to win one or two games in the of the first half of the season. Second half of the season, I think we're going to get 5 or 6 wins.
Yeah, there you go. That's okay. That's what I wanted to ask you, Dave. I appreciate you calling back and giving me the chance to do that. David called in earlier and said,
Murph, you're all right too.
Yeah.
You guys enjoy it. Steve, you go to Canton, I'll be there.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And I think he speaks for a lot of Bills fans. They've seen this before particularly in times where they didn't go through this process, where they didn't have the courage to cut players that with the quality of Marcell Dareus and Sammy Watkins and move to players that fit the culture that they were trying to build better. They didn't see, how many decisions in the trickle-down effect, maybe you can got a ballpark figure. Think back to this last offseason. How many decisions in the trickle-down effect led to them being able to pull off the Josh Allen thing?
There's a lot, three or four at least. You know?
There's more than a handful almost. And it involved, each move involved a couple of assets and a couple of return items. You know, I mean, it was like 2 draft picks for this player or this player for 2 draft picks or this player and a draft pick. I mean, it was a lot of moving parts in that offseason to ultimately get into the top 10 and get the quarterback that they wanted. And I'm kind of with the caller, Dave. I knew it was going to be tough at times. Maybe this is one of those tough times. Maybe it's only the beginning. Maybe this is all the tougher it gets. I don't know. But I figured it was going to be bumpy at times when you got to make moves like that, when you've got $55 million of dead cap money, and you've said goodbye to some players who had taken it out of gear.
Here's a call from Bill on Grand Island. Hello, Bill. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I'd like to know, why did they trade Tyrod Taylor and kept Peterman? I wish that it was they got rid of Peterman, what he did last year.
Yeah, they traded Tyrod because they wanted a draft pick that they used to eventually move up and get Tremaine Edmonds, and there was also a $16 million salary hit that was going to happen in, mid-March last year. They didn't want to be on the hook for that because they had seen Tyrod play. They'd seen him before they even got here. They knew what he was. They knew what the ceiling was. That's basically it.
Bill, he was a piece that when they traded him, it had nothing to do with Peterman. It was about Josh Allen or Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or Baker Mayfield or whoever they were going to be able to jump up and get to take a shot at in the draft. That's why Tyrod's not here. It had nothing to do with Nathan Peterman. You can say that's good or bad, but it was all part of a plan to move up and make sure that in this draft they had a player that they wanted, and that was part of the plan to get. It wasn't even the end of it. I mean, it wasn't that Tyrod trade wasn't even the end of what they had to do to get there. It was only a small stepping stone. So it was a long, drawn-out process that finally got them ultimately to where they could pick Josh Allen.
Let's take a call from Rochester. Brett in Rochester on the line. Brett, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Hey,
hi.
I wanted to say, the first game hasn't changed the outlook of what I think the season's going to be. I think it just highlights the fact that they need to really work on bolstering the offensive line and the wide receivers, because that's what really killed them, on Sunday. You know, I mean, Peterman, yeah, I mean, obviously, there's some blame on that, but really, I mean, the offensive line and the wide receivers let him down. Because there were a couple plays that the wide receivers needed to make that didn't, that could have helped change the outcome of that game a little bit.
No doubt. I mean, everybody could have played better, no question. I think maybe in a loss like that against a really good football team, it does highlight some of the areas where you're not as deep or not as skilled or talented as you need to be. And I don't think there's any question the Bills still have some work to do on this roster, and it was highlighted in a number of ways in that game Sunday.
It was awful Sunday. Hey,
it was pretty
bad. We
got
to spin it forward, and we will a lot tomorrow talk about the Bills and the Chargers. But right now, time for NFL True and False, presented by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. True or false, Steve? Are you ready? I'm going to get you the first crack at this one. This was a result. This is an article on – it was a discussion, really, on by Gil Brandt, who is a well-respected, long-time-serving –
He's a Hall of Fame nominee.
He's a Hall of Fame nominee this year. He's got the Jacksonville Jaguars, he says, are America's team. He ranks them second after the Cowboys, the Jacksonville Jaguars. No, I'm sorry, after the Packers. He's got the Packers as – America's team, whatever that means. He's got the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, it's the Packers, two. Jaguars among America's teams after the Cowboys.
Oh, these are all after the Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's got Cowboys, Packers, Jaguars. Third America's team. Do you want to – I've teed it up for you. It's a fastball right down the
Gil
middle.
And then Gil Brandt's doddering old man. The Packers, okay. The Packers, I can see. The Packers, yeah. The Jaguars, they put tarps over seats in their stadium.
America's team.
They cover seats because they can't sell tickets.
They
in their
play
own
in London.
And they made – they. And, yeah.
They play games, home games in London every year.
Stop. We don't have time for a rant. But that's a rant-worthy claim. That
terrible.
The Jaguars are
even
behind
the
Cowboys
discussion.
As America's team.
Terrible.
That is rant-worthy.
All right. NFL true or false part two. Yeah, false for both of us.
False.
The Bengals are the best team in the AFC North. You've got the Steelers. You've got the Ravens. You got the Bengals. Forget about the Browns. I'm going to go true, Steve. I think this could be true. I was very impressed with what I saw with Cincinnati back around August 26th. The Steelers, not an impressive opening day for them last Sunday. Yes, they tied with Cleveland. Baltimore looked great last week. The Bills were awful. I think it's going to be pretty competitive AFC North, but I've got the 1-0 Bengals, and I think you'll probably see it tonight. I've got them as the best team in that division. What do you think?
I'm going to say false. Listen, telling me anybody but the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in that division is a tough sell this week.
No.
After what I saw of them on the sidelines last week in Baltimore in a driving rainstorm.
They were good. But
they
no,
were really like good. And listen.
They don't have A.J. Green. They don't have Joe Mixon in the backfield.
I'll put Joe Flacco up against Andy Dalton any day. And I'll put him up against Ben Roethlisberger without Le'Veon Bell any day as well. So no, I granted it's a competitive division. The three got Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati are really good football teams, but I don't think there's any reason you'd put Cincinnati ahead of those other two. So I'm
AJ Green, Joe Mixon.
I'm not gonna say
solid
it.
Solid defense.
No.
Okay. NFL no. True or false.
I mean they beat a Colt team that's in a rebuild because of a late defensive touchdown when a quarterback who hadn't played in 2 years almost beat him. So I'm going
to
say no.
One more call to our question about the Buffalo Bills. Have your expectations changed since last week? Let's go to Mark in Orchard Park. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was calling. I think it actually makes us a stronger team, bring us tighter, that look dig deeper, and just, I mean, everybody's got to take a harder look at themselves. And because if you get lumped like that again, it isn't going to look very good for them.
It's hard to imagine them.
It doesn't look very good for them now.
Hard to imagine the Bills playing that poorly again for me. I don't
I
see
that
kind
too.
Of a score and that kind of performance anywhere down the remaining 15. Do you?
I agree. I mean, that there's a little bit of confluence of events that dictated to it. It's a road game, rainstorm, quarterback coming out of the preseason without a track record. Playing against a defense that was a really good matchup, an offensive line that still needs to develop and needs to learn how to play better. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's – you take it to heart and say, hey, that gives us a – certainly it should be a real motivating factor for a team like the Bills to come out and say, hey, we're not doing that again. Let's go and buckle down and work hard for that week and, you know, make sure they don't do that this week against the Chargers. But – yeah, I don't think there's any much more of a positive you can spin out of it.
I agree. A break. We're back with more John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. What did we learn from today's show? It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had a great show today. Thurman Thomas was on the show with us earlier on, first hour. Thurman is ready to go. He virtually went Joe Namath and guaranteed a Buffalo victory this Sunday against the Chargers.
They changed quarterbacks. That's number one.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you get to see a different quarterback in there. So, look, all 32 teams go through this at least once or twice a year, having a game like this where they just don't do anything well. But I just think there's just too much talent on this football team for them to just – go downhill, you know, and it all starts Sunday. You're at home. Everybody wants to see Josh Allen. You got a lot of things that are kind of combination. Anthony Lynn coming back,
yeah.
You know, guy being here. So I'm putting money down right now they're going to win the game.
Are you?
Yeah.
You can't do that legally, but okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm uncomfortable with our gambling policy. So
we're going to have to report you to HR.
I'm not doing that, but I'm just saying. I'm like a Joe Namath. I'm guaranteeing that they're going to win this football game.
Whoa. Thurman Thomas, you could actually hear him slamming money down on the table. I'm guaranteeing. I'm putting money
down. Next guest on the show was Tom Telesco. And he comes in and he heard it, thanks, Thurm.
Tom Telesco was the next guest on the show. And he talked about the former Bills assistant coach Anthony Lynn and the great job he's doing as the Los Angeles Chargers head coach.
He really brings a great presence to the football team. The players, they respect him. And the biggest thing is they really believe in him. He handles the team well. He's tough on them, but he's fair. And then there's no gray area. I mean, if you have a question, he'll give you a straight answer. Whether you like the answer or not, sometimes he'll give the players a straight answer. He coaches really well. Something that goes unnoticed sometimes with head coaches, but he really keeps his assistant coaches accountable. He tells them exactly what he expects at each position. And for me, he's just been great to work with. He's got big picture perspective as well as day to day, and it's been a great hire for us.
Tom Telesco, Chargers GM, on his coach, Anthony Lynn. I'll tell you what else I've learned today, Steve, is that our listeners, the ones that participated today in our little Twitter poll, I think they're ahead of the curve. Let's face it, not most of them, the preponderance, we didn't take a poll, we didn't collect numbers. Most people thought, well, that was a really bad game, but I don't think that's who they are. And that was kind of the point of what I was trying to get to take the temperature. Because I hear it out there, people saying, well, you know, the 2018 season will be remembered as, what are you talking about? Right? You're rushing to judgment here. There's 15 games left. I think, to their credit, most of our listeners and respondents were ahead of that kind of mentality.
Yeah, and we got to that point because, you know, coming on, we talk about the game. It's hard to be positive coming out of a game like that. And I think everybody kind of works through the same process getting out of a game like that mentally and start thinking about the next one and remembering, say, listen, that's not the football team we've seen throughout the preseason and throughout the OTAs, mini camps, and all that. So and like Thurman said in the snippet we just heard and earlier on the show, there's too much talent on this football team for them to sit there and play like that for the rest of the season.
I don't think you'll see that again. The immediate concern, the Chargers game, and the injury report is out. The practice participation report for today, a little bit different than yesterday. Still not practicing today. Cornerback Taron Johnson with his shoulder. No practice today for defensive end Shaq Lawson with his hamstring. No practice today for wide receiver Ray-Ray McCloud with his knee. Lawson, no practice. Taron Johnson, no practice. Those are important players, Steve. I think we're going to see some Nate Orchard in there if Lawson cannot go. And it looks like after 2 days off with his hamstring, he might not be able to go.
Yeah, and we spoke to Nate Orchard yesterday. He said, nah, he's not. He said, I'll be ready to go. So Nate Orchard will have enough under his belt practice-wise to contribute if he's called upon.
Okay, good show tomorrow, right? Greg Cosell will join us, Lorenzo Alexander, Mark Kelso, and much more. What else? Steve Berline's going to be with us.
Steve Berline's going to come in as well, yeah.
We got a good show tomorrow. We'll start at 12 noon. Hope you can join us. Production assistants from George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Root, J.J. Torito, Kevin Karges, and James Roble. Our producer is Jay Harris. We will see you tomorrow, noon to 3. We're right back here, the final day before the home opener, final show before the home opener. Hope you can join us at 12 noon. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.